Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
This evening, I'm going to be talking about a subject that I really didn't actually expect to be speaking to you about. But at the end of the day, this is what I feel the Lord wants to speak to us about this evening. You know, we often talk about an end time move of God's Spirit. And we talk about, you know, what the end times will look like. And we know that, you know, darkness will increase, but so the church will also increase. And we talk about what God's going to do in the last days. And this is something that interests me. Does it interest you?
Yes.
So I wanted to, you know, look at something that would give us a little bit of a glimpse scripturally that speaks about the last of the last days and shows us what will happen to the church in these last days. What the church will do and how we see as darkness increases in the world, which it is doing right now, so we will also see God's power manifest in an incredible way. And in fact, what I want to show you this evening is how that will happen. I want to show you how important it is that it happens. And the example that's used, I think, is just incredible because Paul shows us an example. Now, the last few weeks, I've been doing like heavy studies of the Greek, and I'm enjoying it so much because it shows us truly what the meaning of the text actually is. If you are someone that studies the Bible, I would highly encourage you to get, some encyclopedias, some Strong's and some Vine's encyclopedias. If you're someone that is on the internet, you can save yourself lots of books by getting a program, for instance, like Logos, where you can just click on the word and it gives you all the different Greek and Hebrew interpretations and what it actually means in the original language. And in fact, it breaks it down in the root and the lemma. And I haven't got time to explain to you what all that means, but all I can say is it's awesome. And, you know, the Bible says that in the last days, the knowledge will increase. It's interesting because in a few years ago, it wasn't a long time ago, where we didn't have access to what we have nowadays. You can Google something now and it's incredible what shows up. The good, the bad, and the ugly. So you've got to be careful with Google, amen. But at the end of the day, it's still amazing. If you filter through the information on Google, what is actually available? It's extremely, extremely awesome. So just bear with me. Amen. And we'll get into this today. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3, verse number 1. Maybe you've seen this. Maybe you haven't. Every Sunday night is different. Now I'm going to read through the text up to verse number 9. 2 Timothy 3, we'll start in verse 1. We'll go to verse 9, and then we're going to jump a little bit later on to verse 13 just to kind of seal what I'm showing you. And then we're going to take a look at some stuff. So let's read it through to verse number 9. Are you all ready? But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Man, so far it's not looking very good. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. For of the sort are those who creep into the households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further. For their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. And we'll stop right there. Now, there's a lot to take in, and we're going to break it down in just a minute. But we're going to spend a lot of time in the first verse, because the first verse is extremely loaded, and really we need to take note of what it's saying. So let's go to the first verse, 2 Timothy 3, verse number 1. Please put that only verse on. Here we go. There we go. So let's start. The first word we need to look at in the Greek is the word no. The word no is the word ginosko, which is a very, very simple word, nothing fancy. But basically what it says is to realize or to learn. So it's saying that the word, it's saying, but to know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Now, I need you to understand what it's saying, because it says to realize this, to learn this. But if you study it in its original meaning, what it's really saying is, it's saying you need to understand that this is going to happen, regardless of what you do. So you need to accept it. That's what that word know means in the original language. But know this. In other words, you need to know, you need to realize, you need to understand, you need to learn that what I'm about to tell you is going to take place and there's nothing you can do about it. Okay. I know it's not any great revelation, but we'll move on. Amen. We'll get some in just a moment. So regardless, so the word gnosko is trying to suggest that it's something that you must learn, realize that's going to happen. You must realize it. You must understand it. This is the way it is. Right. Now, the next word that I want us to take a look at is the word last in last days. The word last in last days, or last. Amen. The word last in last days is the Greek word eschatos. Now, didn't I say that beautifully? Eschatos. Now, you need to know that the word eschatos is actually a word that forms the word eschatology. Eschatology. Now, how many of you know that eschatology is the study of the end of times? Now, he says there, but know this. In other words, realize this. Understand that this is going to take place. That in the last days, so in the end times. But have a look at how powerful that word eschatos actually is. Because it actually means extreme last. Or furthest last. Or in other words, the last of the last days. Before Jesus comes. So already we see that in this little verse, there's a lot we need to take notice of. So he's saying, but know this, or realize this, or learn this, that in the last of the last days, perilous times will come. Now let's take a look at the word perilous, because we need to have a look at it. The word perilous means dangerous. It means treacherous. It means hard. It means difficultly. Difficult times that are difficult. So you need to understand that in the last of the last days, there will be difficult times. There will be treacherous times. There will be perilous times. In other words, in the last of the last days, it ain't going to be very good. Can you all say, yes, Pastor? Perilous times will come. The last word I want to take a look at in this verse, believe it or not, we're going to look at another word in this verse, is the word time. Now, it's important that you understand the word time, because it's not just like, what's the time? The word time there in the Greek is the word kairos. And the word kairos in the Greek means fixed time or season. In other words, there is a time that is coming. There is a season that is coming, an end of the end, or the last of the last days, where there is going to be a treacherous time, a bad time. It's going to be like it is right now. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. But what we need to understand is that this is a fixed season, and we need to understand that it's going to take place. And that's all part of what's going to happen and God's plan in the end. Is that okay, guys? The Greek language is so important for us. Now, let me read it for you, kind of like breaking it down. So you could break that one verse down kind of like this. But you need to realize that in the last of the last days, a treacherous fixed time or season is coming. How many of you know we have seasons, we have certain times, fixed a lot of times. Like for example, in your walk with God, you would say, for example, that I'm going into this season. Right? That's a kairos. That's a season. That's a fixed time, an allotted time. So we know that this perilous times that is spoken of the Bible is a set time, a season that God is going to allow this to take place on the earth. Now let's take a look at it. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. We could preach all day right there. Unthankful, unholy. Guys, just take a look at what's going on right now on the planet. Does this not sound just like our country right now? People are becoming more and more aggressive. People are becoming more and more unholy. People are becoming more and more unthankful. Children are no longer respecting their parents even more and more. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. Nowadays, we don't need self-control because it's my right to do whatever I want. So we can see that we are at some point in this season that Paul is describing to Timothy. And in part, I think he's kind of telling this to Timothy to let him know that, listen, what you're going through right now is not so bad. Because it's going to get really bad one day. Even though there was severe persecution for the early church. Traitors, headstrong, haughters, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, we could talk about that right there. Nowadays, you know, we don't have to be married anymore to a man, doesn't have to be married to a woman anymore. A man can marry a man, a woman can marry a woman. If you're born and you don't think you're a woman, you can be a man and all this stuff. Come on, guys. You're either a man or a woman. You either have the man stuff or the woman stuff. Amen. But in these times, people will love their own things, do what they want, say what they want, have their own opinion, and that's okay. And the world is accepting this more and more and more and more. And if you can't see it, it's time to open your eyes. Amen. Because this scripture describes what's taking place on the planet right now without any doubt. Where we are in God's timeline regarding this and how long the last of the last days are, I have no idea. It could be 100 years. It could be 1,000 years. It could be 2 years. But there's no doubt that this describes right where we are now. Despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And we're going to come back to that verse. And from such people turn away. For of the sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sin and led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, I want to take a look at verse number 5. Because many times we've spoken of the scripture in a way that suggests that this is one of the churches or a type of church. Now, I want to challenge you a little bit this morning or this evening. I'm not saying that this is not in any way speaking to a church. Because you can certainly be in a church, have a form of godliness, and deny the power of God. Okay? But I want you to take note of something because it's also extremely powerful. The verse says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. It's important for us to have a look because the word denying is the word arniomaia. Man, guys, if you only could see when I practice this at home. It's amazing. I have it on my computer. It pronounces it for me. And then I do it and I'm like, man, I got it. Now, the word enomaya, basically what it means is I know the power exists, but I'm going to stop it from operating. Now, to me, that doesn't sound like the church. To me, that sounds like the enemy. So yes, in the last days, we will see wickedness increase. We will see darkness increase. We will see the world become darker and darker and darker and darker. Understand something, church, that your battle is not against other churches. Your battle is against the powers and the principalities and the rulers of the darkness of this age, principalities. We have to fight a spiritual battle. And I'm going to prove it to you in just a minute. Now we see that he's speaking here about a force that denies the power of God, or rather resists the power of God. Having a form of power, but denying God's power. You must understand that in the last of the last days, there will be a force that will rise up. I heard a shocking statistic, and I just happened to have, I think it was Christian FM on. And I heard this statistic, and initially I thought, oh, that's not too bad. And then when I heard the second part of the statistic, I almost fell over. And when I heard that and read this, I realized what's busy taking place. Do you know that statistically right now, latest statistics say that in the United States, 80% of people still believe in God? How does that sound? It sounds okay, right? Unfortunately, only 50% believe in the God of the Bible. 50%. Now you might go, oh my God, what are we going to do? And in part, you should go like that. The good thing is that it means that we've got some serious work to do. Amen. But what I want us to focus on is that if that's true, that means that 50% of this nation that we live in and call our home believes in a supernatural power, but not the supernatural power of the Bible. Now, what does God have to say about that? And do we see in His Word Him speak about this in the last days? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions. Take a look at this. This is powerful. Now, how do we know that it's speaking of a God of this world or demonic power that's operating in the world? Because people go to all kinds of extremes to see some form of power manifest in their lives. Fortune tellers, witches, all kinds of different religions that are false religions. I'm not talking about church now. I'm talking about people that go to all kinds of cultic religions. Spiritism, there's so many. The list goes on and on. Satanism, even to an absolute extreme. We see the world beginning to lean on the power of the God of this world, not seeing the power of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the true God. Now watch what he says here. Let's read the last verse real quick. Okay, let's go back now and read just quickly verse number 7. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, I'd like to go through all the scriptures with you, but I don't want to because I want to get to my point this evening, and then we'll see what God does. So we can see, because it actually speaks there, before I move on, it actually speaks there in verse 5, it speaks in verse 6 and in verse 7 of what could be suggested as the church. But we also see in the world how knowledge is increasing. People are becoming cleverer and cleverer. I think they're becoming more and more stupid, to be honest. And we're relying more and more on the arm of the flesh. We're relying more and more on the things of this world and no longer on the things of God. But God has something to say about this. So let's take a look at verse number 8. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further. Listen to that. They will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Now you need to understand, if we're talking about the church, and we're talking about within the church, this force, this power, must be aggressively against the power of God. Because who is Jannes and Jambres? Therein lies the secret. Jannes and Jambres were the two sorcerers that operated with Pharaoh against Moses. Now, what's interesting about Jannes and Jambres, if you study scripture, and we'll go take a look at it in just a minute, they did have power. They had supernatural power, but they were completely opposed to the God of Moses. Are you guys okay? I know this is different, but I'm going to get into my point in a minute. Amen. So we see Jannes and Jambres opposed to the power of God. So if that's the case, Paul said all of this to tell you that the same power that was in Jannes and Jambres will come to an end. So he can't be speaking about a power that's coming up in the church that's not necessarily the right power, but rather speaking about a power that's coming from the world. So in other words, the world's getting darker, but at the same time, the world's leaning not on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but rather of the God of this world, turning to sorcery, turning to witchcraft, turning to all this stuff, and the New Age movement. Listen, you can worship music. You can worship whatever you want nowadays. Come on, guys. If I catch you sleeping, I will punch you. Fivefold ministry. Amen. Oh, my wife is going to rebuke me. And she's right here. Now, before we move on, I want to jump to verse 13, and then I'm going to show you what happened with Jannes and Jambres. Okay? But to prove that I'm talking about sorcerers, witchcraft, I want to show you this. Verse 13 says this, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived in the last days, in the last of the last days. It's interesting because the Greek word for imposter is a powerful word that most of you have never seen before. I never saw it. It's the word goes, easy one, which means imposter, but it also means swindler. Now watch this. It means wizard. It means sorcerer. Go look at it in the Hebrew. If you have the original language, go look at it. So that's what the word means. So we know that in the last days, there will be this demonic power that begins to increase, that begins to challenge God, that begins to say, where is your power? And whatever you can do, we can also do. But the Bible is clear that the same way that Jannes and Jambres were basically mocked, so it will also be in the last of the last days. Now let's quickly take a look at this. Okay, let's go to Exodus 7, verse number 8. Are you guys all okay? Is this okay? Something different tonight. Exodus 7, verse number 8. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, show a miracle for yourselves, then you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and let it become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so, just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. It became a snake. But Pharaoh also called the wise men, the two sorcerers. So the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For every man threw down his rod and they became serpents. So now we see an imitation of the truth of God's power. An imitation, a demonic imitation. The world can also prove and try and show that there is some power in their gods. Listen here, church. Don't ever tell me that the Holy Spirit of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is a Kundalini spirit. It is an imitation. It is a copy. It is a fake. It is demonic. It isn't real. How do you know? Look at the fruit. So we see this take place. But take a look, because I just love God's sense of humor. Take a look at the last verse of that scripture. Please put it up, guys. I don't have it. Come on. There we go. For every man threw down their rod and it became a serpent, but Aaron's rod swallowed their rods. But as you know, this was not persuasive. This was not persuasive to Pharaoh. Now, there were many plagues, but I want to just show you one or two because I want to get to my point. So we see one of the next plagues that takes place is the water gets turned into blood. Exodus 7 verse 22. So Moses turns the water into blood with the power of God. 7 verse 22. Then the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. And Pharaoh's heart grew hard. And he did not heed them as the Lord said, as the Lord had said. So now I want to show you there's a struggle taking place between God's power and the power of this world. What God is showing, the world is also showing. You need to understand that, church. Just because you see something happen in the church and you see something similar happening in the world, don't call it God, for goodness sake. Listen, one of the most dangerous things you can do is call a move of God the devil. People think blaspheming the Holy Spirit is saying something ugly about the Holy Spirit. Listen, that will get him very upset and you will grieve him. But the truth is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit took place when the Pharisees accused Jesus of casting out a spirit by Beelzebub. In other words, they were saying that the power that you're using is the power of Satan. And Jesus turns around and says, everything will be forgiven you except the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. Put it into context. Now, I'm not suggesting if you see something really weird in the church and, like, for example, it's completely off the charts, makes no sense, lines up with the Bible in absolutely no way, and the fruit is bad, it can't be God. But don't try and make your battle against other Christians. Just because you don't understand exactly what's taking place. They didn't understand Jesus. Everything must line up with the word. Amen. Okay, this is different tonight. Amen. Now, Exodus 1, verse number 3. Let's take a look at this. Exodus 8, verse number 1. What am I saying? Exodus 8, verse number 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all your territory with frogs. Now, I love this because you've got to understand one of the Egyptians' gods was a frog. So God is just, again, his sense of humor is amazing because he decides to cause a plague where the frogs will come out of everything. Now, watch this. I will smite all your territory with frogs, so the rivers shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house, into your bedroom, on your bed, into your houses, of your servants, on your people, into your ovens. Can you imagine having a cooked frog? And into your kneading bowls. Listen, it wasn't pleasant. Verse number 6. Let's go to verse number 6. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. Now watch. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt. Now what you need to go and see is that they could bring up the frogs, but it required God to take the frogs away. There's only one real healer. There's only one real deliverer. There's only one true power. And that's the power of God. Now let's take a look at something that takes place where the magicians, the sorcerers go, I can't do that. Are you all ready? In verse number 16, Exodus 8, verse number 16. So the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land so that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and struck the dust of the earth, and it became lice. Now watch this. You must understand that in those days, they worked in the fields. There was dust everywhere. There was dust in your flowers. There was dust in your house. There was dust on the streets. There was dust everywhere. To the point where it says this, and it became lice on men. So the dust even on the men became lice. The lice was on the beasts, the cattle. There was even lice forming. Wherever there was dust, there was lice forming. This is an incredible miracle. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and struck the dust of the earth, and it became lice on men and beasts. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Now the magicians so worked their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there was lice, no man. So there were lice on man and beast. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, now watch, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart grew hard and he still did not heed them. Okay, we don't need to go into that. But what we can see is finally, these sorcerers get to the place where they recognize that this power, this force, this God that they serve truly is the one and only God. Even the evil guys do that. Amen. Now, what you need to understand, church, and this is my message for tonight. I said all of that to say this. If this is true, and if this prophecy will come to pass, because it is a prophecy, in the last days, in the last of the last days, you're going to see all this stuff happen. And you're going to see this power. But when you see this power will become like zero. It will in fact be humiliated in comparison to what? To God's power. But if you study it, when you see, when Moses has to go to Pharaoh, he goes and Pharaoh says, I want to see what your God can do. We are entering a season right now, the likes of which the planet has not seen and will never see, because it's just going to become an incredible move of God's Spirit, where He's going to pour out His Spirit in such a profound and powerful way in the last of the last days. Listen, darkness will increase on this planet, but as darkness increases, so the church will begin to rise up in the true power of God. So the church will begin to rise up, and we will not be afraid, and we will challenge all the forces of darkness, and the forces of darkness will be made folly. They will come to naught. Listen, it's an hour right now that the church must rise up in the true power of God, in the true display of God's power. Listen, this was prophesied by Paul himself. He said that it would come to pass in the last of the last days that we would see this kind of manifestation. And it's time that it happens. It's time that it happens. Amen. This is the finger of God. I have seen more than once a true battle of goodness, of good and evil, where you see demonic power against the power of God. And I've worked, by the grace of God, I happen to work with Pastor Mark. We worked with some witches. There be witches. And when you work with those people, guys, you get to see God's power. But that power that we've seen glimpses of in the past, and now we begin to see increase, must be the portion that the church carries everywhere they go. Because in order for you to persuade the world that the God that you serve is different to the God of this world, you must be able to display His true power. A church without power is like a barking dog. Lots of bark, but no bite. We have to display His power. We're so busy worrying about all our issues and our problems and our stuff that we never even get to the part where God really just wants to use you. He wants to use you for such a time as this. Many people have asked me, well, you know, we hear about that there's going to be this great move of God and we're going to see God's power manifest. Well, there's the scripture to show you. Yes, darkness will increase. It will become really evil and all that stuff. But guess what? We will see God's power manifest in such a powerful way.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.